This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have a very special guest today, Amanda DeGeness. She's going to be talking about how to prevent child molestation. Amanda is a sexual abuse survivor who was born in Trinidad and Tobago and grew up in Brooklyn, New York. She's a graduate of New York City College of Technology and Rockland County Police Academy. She actually was lead investigator for crimes against children, including sex crimes, and after she retired, she founded and serves as president of the Sunny Archer Law Enforcement Foundation, and she's also author of The Freedom and Safety to Exist as I Am. Welcome to the show, Amanda. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Mari. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's totally my pleasure.
You know, I grew up in New York, so listening to your accent is like coming home for me. I love that.
Oh, good.
So tell us a little bit about the story of how you came to do what you currently do, Amanda.
Well, I started writing poetry about different experiences in my life when I was in my early teens. Of course, I was unaware of the fact that it was a form of therapy for me. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, I would take some of those poetries and read it to people that were going through certain situations. And they were really comforted by the fact that someone else understood what they were feeling.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course,
go ahead.
Of course, as an investigator, my personal experience helped a lot when it came to me connecting with other victims.
So. I can imagine. Yeah, it also probably helped you to see signs, because you write about that, you blog about that, the signs and how to spot that. So that was very, very good for you, even though you had to go through so much pain and trauma to get there.
Yes. You know, it took me a while to actually realize what the poetry meant. After I retired, I sat down one day and just decided to read through them. And it really helped me to continue processing what I had been through. Mm-hmm. And it took me back to the victims I dealt with while working and how they felt.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. You know, writing is very, putting things down on paper, whether you call it a journal or whatever it is very cathartic. And it does help you to begin to release that trauma and to begin to go into healing. So that's fantastic. I love the part that you say that you shared your poetry with people and it helped them. Whenever we're going through something, we always feel like we're the only one, you know? But once you know that other people have gone through it, there's almost like a piece in that, you know, like, I'm not the only one. There's nothing wrong with me. Other people have gone through this.
That's correct. After looking at it and getting the feedback I got from some of the poems, I read to some of my family members, particularly my brother Victor, my younger sister Jasmine, and Lenny. Mm-hmm. And the encouragement I would get from them as to the feelings they got from the poetry, I said to myself, you know what? I must share this with everyone that's willing to read it and learn from it. Mm. I really wanted to make people aware that these things can happen to anyone. It happened to me.
Yeah, that's really good. And it takes a lot of courage. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on Dare to Be Authentic. It takes a lot of courage something like that out there, to be so vulnerable, to say what happened to you. And, I just applaud you for that. So tell
Thank
me
you
what
so much.
You're welcome, Amanda. So tell me what you're most passionate about.
I am most passionate about getting the word out there so that it can prevent another child from sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
there are other people out there working to achieve the same goal. But I feel like I'm doing it in my way, from my experiences. They say, you know, after all the research I did, they say that 1 in 10 children will be abused before the age of 18 years old. Wow. And if we take into consideration that there right now in 2020 there are approximately 74 million children under the age of 18 years old. So if they're saying 1 in 10, that's a pretty big number. I mean, 1 is too much, but we're talking approximately 7 million children.
That's crazy. Wow. That's
and the
crazy.
Thing is, each child that experiences sexual abuse, every single one of them ends up having at least one type of disorder that they take throughout the rest of their lives, psychological, emotional, physical, sociological. At least that after effect with the children, they take it with them throughout their adult life. And I feel that speaking up and explaining what I've been through and the things that you feel, the emotions that you go through, that they're normal and you're not alone. If my experiences can help save a child, that's what I'm most passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was reading your blog, and I know that you have tips. I'd love for you to share some of them on the air, because there were many there that I didn't know about. You know, as much as I talk to my children, I have 3 kids, and now I have 5 grandkids. And as much as I talked to them and told them, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, come to mommy, come to daddy, tell us. You have to tell us. But you have some tips there that, to me, are very new and very fresh. Would you talk about that for a little bit? About preventing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I, too, just to let you know, when I learned more after I wrote the book, did my research, when I started reading all of the tips they had, when I went back to thinking about when I was a victim, if these things had been taught to me, it probably would have saved me. I feel that it would have saved me. So I am more than happy to share them.
Yes, that would be great.
So I truly believe that teaching children body safety is very important. Body safety is part of can go right in with teaching your child from infant stages what the nose is, the ears. We teach them all those things, fingers. We need to teach them about their genitals. We need to include that in the teaching process. Teach them by the correct names, not a pet name. We need to teach them the penis, the vagina, the bottom, the breast, the nipples. And when we teach them that, we need to go right into telling them that should be covered all the time. Always have those parts covered. They're your private parts. They're your special private parts. And let them know no one should be asking to see them. No one should, and they shouldn't be showing it to anyone, just as well as no one should be showing it their private parts to them.
Right.
We need to teach them no one should be touching their private body parts, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of times, we as parents, we bathe our children, we wash them up, and it's important for them to understand the discomfort they're feeling when someone is touching those parts, the difference between when mommy and or daddy is bathing them and someone's doing something that makes them uncomfortable. We need to let them know how to express those uncomfortable feelings that they feel. We must listen to them. We must teach them.
That's great.
We can all. Yes, absolutely.
Mm. So I'm going to ask you a quick question before we go further.
Yes.
We always have done pet names. You know, that's how my mom raised us. I raised my kids that way, and probably my daughter is raising her kids the same way. Because for whatever reason, why is it so important to use the actual term?
It is important to use the actual term because when it comes to them saying it to you and saying it to, let's say, the teacher outside, they're not comfortable saying to you, "Mommy, this person touched me here and it makes me uncomfortable," maybe because it's a close family member and they're afraid to tell it to you.
Mm.
If they are to report this to a teacher or another responsible adult, you want to know that people are understanding what your child is talking about.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. Very good.
And you don't want, when a child is reporting to you, you don't want to ask that child over and over again what they, tell me the story again. I want to hear it, because that makes them uncomfortable.
Of course.
If they're
yeah.
opening up and they're speaking, you want to be able to hear and understand what they're saying the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't want there to be any misunderstanding.
Right. That's perfect. And I love the fact that you point out you have to listen to children. You know, it's so easy not to listen to them. You may be a working mom or work from home now or have 5 children, right, that you're taking care of or whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's not that you don't want to hear them, right?
Right, right. I mean, some don't want to hear them, but in general, it's not that we don't want to hear them. It's that we're so distracted that we don't hear them. So you have a suggestion about that. How do we become more aware of our children and pay attention when they're telling us something important?
We just always need to make the time. No ifs and buts about it. We need to make the time for them. Also, we can teach them 2-3 other who are other responsible adults around them that, okay, I went to mommy and mommy's not listening. I have to go to daddy because they told me if someone touched my private parts, I have to tell them immediately.
Okay.
So if you're distracted, your child needs to know that there are these 3 or 4 people that they have this important thing to tell, and they know who they can go to. So you have to teach your children, here are 4, and if some of them are so young, when you're teaching it to them, it's good to point it out on the fingers. 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4. Daddy's 1, mommy's 1, grandma is 1,
mm-hmm.
Auntie Sue is 1. That's
yeah.
4. So these are things we need to do. If we can't hear them, for whatever reason we're distracted or misunderstood what they're saying, there's another person or there are other people they feel safe enough to say this to, so that they can get the help they need.
That's great, Amanda. I love that. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in to ask Amanda a question, our call-in number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back to talk about signs of child abuse.
Are you frustrated losing the same 10 pounds over and over again? Then ditch the diet. Wouldn't it be great if you could lose weight simply by making small changes to your daily eating habits? Presenting Create Your Thinner Self, the weight loss program that has helped people just like you finally attain their ideal weight. Imagine having more energy, feeling better, and looking better. Start your transformation today. Go to createyourthinnerself.com. That's createyourthinnerself.com.
The time has come for us to celebrate who we are and to take joy in what is possible for us. The time has come for us to embrace our true selves just as we are. I'm Elliot Robertson. I'm a spiritual growth coach. Please visit ElliotRobertsonCoach.com. That's ElliotRobertsonCoach.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm Mari Mitchell with special guest Amanda Dijanis. We're talking about how to prevent child molestation. So we have a caller. Let's take that caller, if that's okay with you, Amanda.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Hello, you're on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, did you want to ask Amanda a question? This is Mari from Dare to Be Authentic.
Good afternoon. My name is Miguel Johnson. I'm actually a friend of Miss Amanda's sister, Jasmine, and she told me she was having this class. I'm very proud of her, and I actually wanted to hug her through the phone.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And family,
thank you
my
so
mother
much.
Shared a story with me. You're welcome. My mom shared a story with me when she was 5 years old. She told me that a relative of ours, a grown man in his 20s, he exposed his penis to her. She didn't know what it was. She thought it was a snake. She instinctively, something in her made her kick at him. She kicked him in his genitals, and she ran out the room and told her mother. And he jumped out the window because an uncle of ours was going to go after him. He was in the Navy at the time, and he jumped and got on the ship, and no one ever saw him again. I myself was almost raped at the age of, I think I was 11. A boy from the neighborhood, he wanted me to play with him. And I knew him and his brothers. So I said, okay. Then he said, well, we'll play vampire. And laid me on my back, broken glass in this yard. And he was, I guess, was dry humping me. I knew something he told me was wrong. So I told him, well, my mom will beat me if I get my school clothes ready. I was in Catholic school at the time. And he said, okay. So he just left. I was very fortunate. There are many others on
yes,
sure not fortunate. You just
yeah.
And that took you coming forward and telling your story, exposing your privacy in hopes of others learning from it and not being ashamed and coming forward and tell their truth too. So let me
and
doing
thank
it.
You for sharing.
We commend you. Yes.
Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great rest of your day and keep listening to the interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So Amanda, let's talk a little bit about signs from the parents or the grandparents' point of view or teacher, anybody who's with a child. What are the signs?
Some of the signs from the children are pulling back, not wanting to mingle. Sometimes you can tell they're not getting rest because they're coming into the class and they're sleeping, or the child is nervous around certain people or don't want to be around a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
Some other signs are always having tummy aches or sexually transmitted diseases. eating disorders, depression, anger. Those are signs you would get from the children.
Okay.
And you know, most of us parents, we know our children.
Yes.
We know our children, and sometimes we don't pick up on the change right away, but most of the signs they display are signs that catches your attention. So you have to monitor, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Pick that time where you could sit with them and talk to them, especially if you see that there's a difference in their attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's excellent. Very nice. I love that, that you're bringing that out so that people can be a little bit more aware. That's excellent. So let's talk for a minute about what role authenticity plays in all of this.
For me, authenticity plays a big role by being transparent, telling my story, being real. Mm-hmm. I say telling the ugly truth. When I look back at where I came from to where I am now, I want survivors to know we lived through it. And by telling our stories, telling the real deal, we can save other children. So my authenticity is in me exercising my right to stand up and feel free and safe to exist as the person I am. And kids are people too. They need that also.
Yes.
And we can give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the reasons you stood up and talked about it was through your book. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yes. My book is titled I Am, and it's a lot of autobiographical poetry accompanied with narratives as to where the poetry came from, the experience of the poetry.
Very nice. And this is, you had mentioned before that you began this as a journal. You were just writing as a release for all the trauma that you were experiencing. You just began to write and you put it together in the form of a book now. But in addition to the poems, now you've written the story of what was going on. Is that correct?
Yes. Each poem comes from the pain or the discomfort I felt about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And with the poem, there are narratives giving the reader the description of the area or the situation that was taking place at the time.
Okay.
As a victim, yes. As a victim, we tend to zone in on certain things while the victimization is happening. And mm-hmm. I was able to put these things on paper with the poetry to give the reader that sense of reality behind it all.
Fantastic. So what's the main message you want to bring to the public, Amanda?
I'd like the public to know the stigma of sex is dirty and that thing we did with the children when we say to the children, oh, don't talk about that, you're being
mm-hmm.
rude. We need to break that pattern. We need to speak to our children about sex. There's nothing wrong with sex. Sex is good, and it's natural when it's between two consenting adults.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach them that when someone is forcing them to do things sexually, that they don't want to do, that it's wrong, and they can speak up about it. They should speak up about it. They should not have to endure that discomfort and that victimization.
Good. That's excellent. So we're really giving them a place where they can speak, giving them a voice.
Yes.
We need to give our children a voice. Yeah. I love that.
And I really do believe sharing the facts about child sexual abuse to children and to others can prevent children from being molested, sexually molested.
Yes, I agree with you. Because if you're aware of something, and if they know that they have the power to tell and not have to be afraid to tell, and they're not going to be in trouble for telling, then that gives them the voice. There's their voice right then and there. That's wonderful.
Yes.
So let's talk about for a second how to get a hold of you and your book, Amanda. We can go to your website. How to get a hold of you and your book for the listener.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Yes.
That's okay.
If you have any questions, if anyone has any questions, they can email me at author@imam-anda.com, or you can inbox me through Messenger on Facebook under i-m-anda. If they would like to purchase my book, I am is immediately available with Book Baby at www.store.bookbaby.com, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. And if they would like to purchase a signed copy, they can email me at the same email, author@i-am-anda.com, or visit my website, www.i-am-anda.com, for more information.
Fantastic. And you can also find Amanda on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just click on the radio show page, and she's already there with her picture, a link to her website, so you can contact her if you need to, and you can buy her book. Very good. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, something that's deep in your heart today, Amanda?
Yes. I want to give a quote from my book.
Nice.
I wanted to be saved by anyone. Speak when you are spoken to, I have always been told. This is my time to speak. This little girl who learned she should be seen and not heard is slowly losing her soul. Please share the facts about child molestation, child sexual abuse. It can save a child. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for being on the show. It's been absolutely a pleasure
having you.
And remember that this show, replay of this will be on the same link. Please pass it along. This message needs to be heard and spread. And thank you for listening in today. And join us on the next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
Thank you, Mari.
It's my pleasure, Amanda.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.